everybody, and welcome to episode 324 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I am your host, Mark Jimenez, and today I will be talking about anime, more specifically the fall anime season, since we are a little bit past the midpoint for a lot of these series, as they're around 7 or 8 episodes in. And this season has been my least watched season in quite a while. I think I'm only current on 4 series, which is crazy, especially when I think back to certain seasons, especially when I was more stubborn and I was like, okay, if it's new, I'm going to watch it. And I think the most series I ever watched as they were coming out in a season was 20-ish, maybe like 19. But I've become much more open to dropping series, which I think is healthy for me and healthy for anyone. I don't think anyone should feel like they need to watch any series, regardless of its popularity or anything like that. But anyway, the series that I've stuck with so far are Drifters, Girlish Number, Yuri on Ice, of course, and then Udon no Kuni no Kenero Kemari, otherwise known as Poco's Udon World. These are the only 4 series I am current on, still watching. I never kept up with Keijo after the 4th episode. I haven't watched it since. While I think there's a lot of humor in it, I just can't get past the abundance of camel toe. And it really drove me nuts. And at the same time, I haven't started any of the returning series. So Bungo Stray Dogs, I still haven't gone back to that. Or Days, or Hebeke Euphonium, or Mobile Suit Gundam. And the reason for that is because the pause I took when the season started and decided to watch all the new series first really took a lot out of me, because I found this season to be very disappointing. And when I think about it, in some of the series I watched, maybe if you're an anime fan who likes style and doesn't care so much about substance, you're really enjoying the season. But I really care about substance. That's why Rakugo is still my favorite series of the year. And a lot of people have been critical of that series, even though it's been pretty well regarded, highly regarded. There are people who are critical of it, just saying, why is it an anime? Because there's not that much going on, and the story and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't require anime. It's not a larger-than-life story or anything like that that requires this far-out medium, if you want to call it that. But I love it because of the story and the characters and all that. So stuff like, I'm trying to think of what is stylish this season that I'm not sticking with. But I like Classicaloid. I don't remember where the Lloyd starts and the Classical ends. But that was a very kind of pretty thing. But that was more kid-friendly, I'd say, even though there are some kind of adult-ish themes. But that's existent in a lot of anime. Or, I mean, Keijo has a lot of style to it. In terms of the art, though, their faces are kind of like, oh, nobody cares about the faces, just show them booties. March of Lions has some interesting style, dude, but people would also say that. So never mind what I'm talking about. Let me just get to what I've been watching. Yuri on Ice is, without question, the best series of the season. It is the shining star that makes this season worthwhile, that makes it so I'm not just completely disappointed with it all. It's one of my favorite series of the entire year, and it might actually be my runner-up at this point behind Rakugo when I'm thinking about all the stuff that has come out this year, because I do like sports anime, but this show, Yuri on Ice, sort of transcends that, and I can't even give a good reason why, but Yuri is an incredibly likable character, and he's somebody you want to root for, in the same way that the main character from Days is very likable. But I think where Days fails and Yuri succeeds is that while they both have these very likable leads, I don't really see a strong goal or reason for anything in days. The main character sort of just wants to help his team out the best he can, and he's not looking to win it all or, you know, accomplish something grand. He just, like, wants to have fun and enjoy his time with his friends and help them out however he can, even if it's just rooting on the sidelines. Whereas Yuri on Ice, you have this ice skater who's, I guess, getting old for an ice skater, and he's never quite lived up to his potential. And now he's feeling more motivated, and there's also the relationship between him and Victor, and there's a lot there that you really want to see him succeed in, because you see him grow a lot, Yuri, whereas the main character from Days, he does grow to some extent, but there isn't substantial growth, or it isn't as obvious, or it's more just slow paced, and maybe that's because it's a 24 episode series as opposed to a 12 episode series, which is, I don't know if Yuri's episode number has been officially released. I hope it's longer than 12, because I just love the series so much. But Yuri on Ice also is beautifully animated. We all know that. Of course, there are times when it might not be as beautiful as it was in the first episode, or as it could be, just because there's a lot of animation going on, and, you know, it's a lot of work. But Yuri on Ice is just such a wonderful series, because you can, I don't want to say you can root for everyone, but the entire cast is likable. And like Yurio, he's very likable, even though he can be a bit stubborn or a bit hot-headed, because he's 15 years old. He's going through puberty and all that, and his body's changing, and he's very kind of angsty, which is what a 15-year-old would be like. But he's not mean. He's not like a dick. He's just kind of extra emotional. And you have a whole bunch of other side characters who are interesting, and I'm so pleasantly surprised by the series, at times blown away, and the OP has really, really, really grown on me. The first time I heard it, I was like, I don't know about this. This sounds a little cheesy, but it has quickly grown on me that I love listening to it. I will listen to it every time. There are so few anime that I will listen to the OP every single time, because my time is precious, so I will skip that minute and a half if I don't feel any strong desire to listen to it. The last series, I think that I definitely made sure to always listen to the OP, was No Origami Arigato, because I just love that song, which I think was, what was it called? Something by the Oral Cigarettes, a band from Japan. I like that. That sounds good. A band from Japan. That's how every single band from Japan should subtitle themselves. Blah, 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 blah. A band from Japan. Or the band from Japan. Da band from Japan. This is going nowhere. But that song was really good. And now I'm trying to remember what it's called. Don't want to hold your hand. But Yuri on Ice, fantastic. Then we have Ura no Kuni no Kenero Kamari, Poco's Udon World, which has really grown into a very nice slice of life anime. I'm still wondering how it's going to wrap itself up, if it's just going to be a very, very open end to the season. If there will be more after that, I don't know. I believe the manga is still going. It's still ongoing. But it's very, very cute. And I've grown to really like all the side characters a lot. And they've added a few more. And they add more and more. And I've yet to run into anyone who's been annoying or anything like that. So I've really come to enjoy that quite a bit. I think that might be my second favorite of the season. And that was surprising, because I really thought the first episode failed to grab me, and I thought it was a really subpar first episode, and I was surprised by that because it's the kind of series made for me. It had the makeup for it and all that, all the ingredients, and it just failed to produce anything really that appetizing. am I hungry or something? It sounds like I'm hungry. Maybe I want some udon. But it's turned into a very, very nice, delightful little show. And then there's Drifters, which I love the look of it and the action. I like the main characters. I just like the art style in general. And I'm sticking with it mainly because it's enjoyable to watch, and the characters are enjoyable. It's fun to see them interact with each other, and the animation, all that's really good. But as far as the story goes, I really don't know what the hell's going on. That's my biggest problem with it, is that the overarching story, why the Drifters are there, even though we've gotten some bits of information in the last few episodes, I still just don't really understand what the point of it all is. You have these people who you don't really see much that are in like this other world that are, it's like where the architect was in the Matrix or something, this kind of like little office space that doesn't exist in the real world. It's like somewhere in some alternate space or something, I guess. I don't know. That's the problem. I don't know what's going on, why it's going on, what the end goal is, and all of that. So that's just my biggest concern with it, is that when this season comes to an end, that I'll just be left with more questions than answers, because I don't feel like I've gotten a single answer yet. So they really need to do something about that, because it's coming around to a close as well. And then Girlish Number is starting to get a bit tiresome for me. It's still funny. It has its amusing elements about the anime industry and all that, and focusing on these voice actresses specifically. But my biggest problem is that Chitose is just not likable at all. She's a horrible, horrible person. And she doesn't have any, I don't think she has any redeeming qualities about her. She's very self-centered. And when she, I mean, there are the only redeeming parts about her are the few moments when she just, in like a bit of rage or during a tantrum, she will be very, very honest about how she has no talent and is just like kind of garbage and trash. But even though she seems to know this, because she does admit this every now and again, she doesn't stop or ever really seem to attempt to stop being trash. So she's just this piece of garbage who occasionally will be somewhat endearing by admitting that she's a piece of garbage, but never going so far as to try and stop being such a piece of garbage. And that has gotten a bit tiresome. I still enjoy it enough, but it's starting to drop down, you know, more into like the fine range. You know, it's fine. It's not really good, but it's fine. Not bad. It's just fine. And that's all I've been watching so far. So I think this season has been disappointing. I'd love to hear what other people have thought. Yeah, I guess it's a good time to catch up on stuff. And I think there are also some series that I've kind of held off on, or I've just thought, like, you know what, I'll just stick with these series that have really grabbed me, and then there are ones that maybe I was on the fence about, and I can catch up with them later via Funimation with the ones they dub and all that. Because I really do want to hear some of their new dubs to see if maybe they've added to their list of voice actors, because that's a problem with the stuff that Funimation dubs themselves, is that you start hearing the same voices over and over and over again. It's just like, oh, so it's you from that. Okay. And you just keep hearing. It becomes hard to not hear a specific character from a certain voice. So hopefully that's not a continued issue. But I'm kind of still waiting. Maybe they've
updated it, but I don't think anything has happened because I feel like I would have known by now. But I'm still waiting for Funimation to release an app. Well, not an app, their app for Apple TV, because I don't want to use my iPad in AirPlay because then my iPad's battery gets destroyed. So there's that. And then, other than anime, I do want to talk about a game that will be coming out on December 1st. And I've had it for a little while. I've been playing it. It's called The Dwarves. And this shouldn't be confused with We Are the Dwarves, which I think is the title of that other strategy RPG thing that came out maybe during the summer. This is The Dwarves, just The Dwarves. It's based off of a fantasy series, a series of books by author Marcus Heitz, I believe. And this is available on PS4, Xbox One, and Windows. I'm playing on Xbox One. And I don't know how it plays on PC, but I've read some people talk about it on PS4, and this seems like the problems on PS4 are the same problems on Xbox One, because first and foremost, I can't recommend the game to anyone because it runs, at least on console, because it runs like garbage. I've run into frame rate issues, very bad slowdowns. The loading is not that good. There are just issues with the combat. I think it would feel better with the mouse and keyboard. There are times when the gameplay, it feels like you're ice skating around. And it's hard to really control things. They don't really do a good job of teaching you the controls. And you can't even check the control scheme in settings. It only pops up, as far as I know, during some loading screens. Or maybe it's all loading screens, but that's the only time I've ever seen it, is during loading screens every now and again. So that's kind of weird, because the control scheme is something that, you know, you kind of want to be able to access whenever, especially when you're in-game and playing. You're like, oh, wait, how do I do this? Let me check. Oh, I can't check. Great. And maybe it's available through, like, the help system, whatever. I hate the way that works on console, at least on Xbox One, where you get your little side window. I don't want to deal with that. And even so, control scheme should be in the actual in-game options. Just the same way I think that in your audio options in every game, you should be able to adjust the sound effects, the music, and the voice, you know, slash dialogue individually. And there are still games that don't allow you to adjust voice, which I think is crucial, because so many games, the sound mixing makes it so that it's not as easy or as clear for the voice to come through in a way that you can easily hear it. But yeah, The Dwarves is pretty much a technical mess. And it's disappointing, because the game itself is actually kind of interesting. The way it works is, after your little tutorial mission where it's like, okay, here's some fighting and blah, blah, here's a little bit of story, and then they throw you into this other character who's not much of a fighter, but he has to go on and deliver something to someone or whatever. It's like, okay, go out in this world, and then you're shown this overworld map. And there are a bunch of different points on there. There are some that are clearly little towns, and then you can see other little pieces, and you're like a little pawn piece with your character on it. So it's sort of like a board game setup. And there are other pieces on there that signify orc armies or groups of orcs or merchant, traveling merchants. And then you have your towns, like I said, and all these various points, points of interest at times, camps and stuff like that. And you can move from point to point, and you have certain supplies that you, I don't think you need, but like having food allows you to heal between each move. And then you have gold, which you can use at merchants, of course, or dealing with other humans or dwarves, etc., bartering, all that jazz. And then you have various items you can use in battles or equipable items. And you navigate this map. There are certain, like, clear mission objectives that are pointed out on there, but you don't need to go directly to them. You can navigate the map as you so choose and run into things. And every now and again, even on points that seem to be empty, you will then get bits of dialogue that give you a bit of story, and then you can maybe end up searching the woods or something like that across the way. So The thing I like about it is that it's sort of like a choose-your-own-adventure story, because you can just navigate this map, and then you'll be given dialogue options, and you have a bunch of different choices where you can, like, okay, you have hit this point, you see a campfire, and you hear some humans. Do you want to creep up slowly and just see what's going on there? Do you want to go there audibly so they aren't shocked when they see you and try to interact with them? Do you want to just avoid them? In some cases, do you want to attack them, etc.? And you make choices, and then the choices will play out, and you can make some more choices, and then eventually maybe you can get into a scenario, a bit of combat or other such things, or maybe search an area, or even, and this was surprising when it first happened to me, you can die in dialogue. So you can make the wrong choices and end up dead. And it will ask you, do you want to start all over, or do you want to just load your most recent save? Which was very surprising, because I wasn't expecting to be able to die just through a few dialogue options. You know, I slept at this campfire, and then this orc surrounded me when I woke up. I could smell him, and I could feel his blade right at my neck when I woke up. And before I could do anything, he slit my throat, and I was dead. And I was like, what? This was crazy. And I like all that. It's fun to do all that. And the story is actually not that bad. I haven't read the source material, but the story in game is kind of interesting, and I like this world. I like these characters. The voice acting is good. The problem is, anytime you actually have to get into gameplay, when you actually have to play the game, it's not fun and it doesn't run well. So what are you supposed to do in that case? Because the combat itself, besides the frame rate issues and all that, it just isn't that fun. And maybe I'm missing something, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of options, because I currently have three characters in my party, and I can control one at a time, but when I'm not controlling the other two, they don't do anything. They don't act on their own. They just stay in the position that I left them in, unless I press the Y button, and then they come to me, but then at the same time, they still do nothing. Unless they're like right in the vicinity of enemies, they just do nothing. And they will let enemies attack them, like orcs with bows and arrow. They'll let them just keep hitting them, and they won't retaliate. They won't react. And it's frustrating, because I don't know if there's a way I can turn on their AI. I looked at the control scheme. It didn't seem like there was, and the game never really told me anything in the little bits of tutorial in the very beginning. So I just have to control everyone myself, and it's not that fun, because regardless of whether I have to control everyone myself or not, it doesn't matter, because then I move on to another character and control them. The other ones stop working. They don't do anything. And then the combat itself doesn't feel good, because the way it works is that you just automatically attack when you're close enough to an enemy to attack them. You don't press anything. You press the A button to use one of your various skills, which are assigned to the D-pad. So you switch between those, and then you have a cool-off period. Well, you don't have a cool-off period. You have a certain number of slots, and each skill takes a certain number of them, and then they recharge over time. So you can do those with the A button, and then it'll show you a sort of cone of effect or an area of effect. And friendly fires turn on as well. I accidentally lost a little a scenario, because I killed the one character who couldn't die, who wasn't supposed to die, with another character, because I didn't realize it was going to be that devastating. He had like half his health, and I just decimated him with one of the other dwarves. But the combat just feels kind of awful. And like I said before, it feels like you're sliding around at times, and the enemies are just like, okay, you're just like ice skating on these grassy fields. And it just doesn't feel good. And it doesn't look too bad, especially when you get the in-game cutscenes. It looks nice. It has a nice art style to it. I like the aesthetic of it all. I really wish it was fun to play. That's the problem. And, like, you know, games could have a lot of good going on for them, but when it comes to the most crucial part, the game part, if that's not working, it doesn't matter. Unless, you know, the game part isn't a substantial part or really isn't that existent, because you have your games on iOS or whatever that are choose your own adventures that are just that. They don't have a gameplay aspect like the I forget what they're called, but there's that big series of basically choose your own adventure books. Then you have stuff like Lifeline or things like that that are very, very story based. But then you have something like this, We Are the Dwarves. Not We Are the Dwarves, like I confuse it. The Dwarves, that has this really interesting story, this interesting world, these characters who are all fairly likable and well acted, and an art style that I like looking at. I like looking at the game too. But then when I have to play it, I'm like, God, I don't want to do this. It's like, I will avoid combat. I will do dialogue options to avoid combat. And even the RPG elements in it are very, very light. You can't change your equipment, like your body armor and your weapons or anything like that. You just get to choose between two skills when you level up to certain levels, and that's fine, I guess. But that's really it, and you can equip occasional items. But really, there's just not that much to it. And it sucks because I really like a lot that the game is doing, but it just isn't succeeding in the most crucial part, and that is the game part. So The Dwarves comes out December 1st, this Thursday, and I just have to, as much as I would like to recommend it, I have to say that you have to avoid it for now. Wait for those technical issues to be fixed. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Even still, I don't know if the combat can be fixed because it's not that great, but the technical issues just exacerbate the rather lackluster gameplay. But that will do it for today's episode. Once again, I am your host, Mark Huznes. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, all the usual places, at PX Sausage. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com. You can find me on PSN there's no at symbol, but the Kush3, that is the KUSH and the number 3. The site, of course, is where you can go to find this podcast and all the stuff I do and we all do over at the site, like the art, which if you like the art to do, you can go get some prints over at pxsart.com. If you want to support the site in general, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and chip in a buck or two every month to show your support that way. And if you haven't already, please do go over to iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast and all the podcasts, because that really does help and it would be really, really appreciated. So, yeah, that will do it, like I said a minute ago. Yeah, I hope everyone's had a great week so far. Is looking at their bank account and being like, oh my God, I spent too much money. But hopefully you can pay it all off. But that will do it for the third time. Bye-bye.